So Manish requested that we talk about the Grihastha Ashram. So we have a brahmachari here, but I hope he will be okay. Panchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So I found some nice verses in the Bhagavatam which will give us some nice understanding of what should be proper grihastha life. In the Vedas, there are two words for those who live with a wife and with family. One is grihastha and one is grihamedhi. The grihamedhi has no spiritual inclination. The grihamedhi thinks that the purpose of a wife and family members is simply to enjoy the senses. And that is what most people who are not devotees or not religious, those who are gross materialists, they think that is the purpose of family life. We'll come together and we'll enjoy our senses. And materialistic religions throughout the world, they condone it. And this was one of the things that Narada Muni criticized Vyasadeva. In the first canto, we see the scene where Vyasadeva is despondent. Do you know what I'm talking about in the first canto? The scene where Vyasadeva, after writing the Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Mahabharata, and Vedanta Sutra, he's despondent. And just at that moment, Narada, his guru, appears. And very nice of Vyasadeva, something we should all learn. What does Vyasadeva say to his spiritual master? Please find out the root cause of my dissatisfaction. Very important. He wants his spiritual master to go to the root of the problem. When Arjuna, those of you who know Bhagavad Gita, what does Arjuna say to Krishna in chapter 2, the turning point of Bhagavad Gita? I am confused, I am bewildered, but I want you to tell me decisively, conclusively, what I should do. That's that's when you approach a guru, when you want a real solution. And I always give the example. Say you're really sick. Really sick. Not just, no, sick. You go to a good doctor and you want that doctor to tell you exactly what is the problem. So that's the spiritual, you approach a spiritual master when you want the real solution to the problems of life. That's what Arjuna did in Bhagavad Gita. Shishyaste ham shadi mang tuang prapanam. He surrendered. Now no more friendly talks. And that's where Krishna begins. Krishna said, okay, now we're not friends, now I'm guru. Then Krishna begins to really instruct Arjuna. So Vyasadeva also asked Narada, you find out the root cause. So Narada said many things to Vyasadeva. Just imagine, Vyasadeva, Bhagavan Rishi, God in the form of a Rishi, who gave us all the Vedic literatures. His spiritual master chastised him and said, in all of these Vedas and all these things that you've done, you have encouraged the people to enjoy in the name of religion. And Narada said, that's condemned. Encouraging people to enjoy materially under the guise of all religion. That's what Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam calls materialistic or cheating religion. Because the real purpose of religion is to get out of this material world, liberation, not to enjoy it. The real purpose of a real religion is not that we remain here as prisoners enjoying, no, to get out, to go back to our real home with Krishna. That's real religion. So Narada said, you have encouraged the people in the name of religion to enjoy. This is verily condemned. So he told him, now you write Bhagavatam and teach them about knowledge and renunciation, two sides of the same coin. Knowledge, if you have knowledge but no renunciation, that's not knowledge. The real sign of knowledge is you're detached from material sense gratification. As long as you're still attached to enjoying, your knowledge is deficient. So you have on a coin, you have heads and tails. So one is knowledge, say knowledge is heads, but the tail is renunciation, the detachment. What is the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita called? Perfection of? The final chapter. Conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Then people ask, well, what is renunciation? Very good. That's another two-sided coin. Once you understand what is renunciation, that's also a two-sided coin. Who can tell me the two sides of the coin of renunciation? Can anyone figure out what are the two sides of that coin? What does that mean? Renunciation of what? Yes. So one side is detachment from material sense gratification, but that alone just makes you an impersonalist. Attachment to what? No, I can be an impersonal spiritualist. I need something better. Attachment to Krishna. That's the other side. Attachment, because just being detached, that's impersonalism. I'm detached. But no attachment to Krishna? Attachment to Krishna is the other side of that renunciation coin. Not just detached from material life, but attached to Krishna. And how do you begin to become attached to Krishna? Well, her answer is good. Why? Why is your answer correct? Yes, hearing is the usual answer, but why is chanting also a correct answer? Because when you chant, automatically you're hearing. Correct? Unless you're not chanting properly. But if you're chanting properly, automatically you're hearing. But the technical answer is, the beginning of becoming attached to Krishna is hearing. What does Krishna say in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, first verse? Touch Srinu. Hear from me, Arjuna. Hear from me. So, the beginning of becoming attached to Krishna means you hear. There's two kinds of katha. What are the two kinds of katha? Yes. Bhagavatam and what? Yes, but now I need a better explanation. What is Bhagavad Gita?
It's a song.
Yes, Krishna's speaking. What's Bhagavatam? Huh. So, the two kinds of Krishna Katha, one that is directly spoken by Krishna, and the other is devotees telling you about Krishna. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, Arjuna says something about Krishna. He says, right, after Krishna explains the four nutshell verses of Gita. What chapter is that in?
Chapter 10.
Verse 8, 9, 10, 11. Prabhupada calls that Chatushloki of Bhagavad Gita. After that, what does Arjuna say? Arjuna says what, Rama? What does that mean? He accepts Krishna as God, as the Supreme. Okay? So, when we hear directly from Krishna, that's one kind of Krishna Katha. And by the way, in Bhagavatam, there's lots of Krishna speaking directly. For instance, there's the Uddhava Gita, which parallels Bhagavad Gita. So even within Bhagavatam, although there is so much discussion by devotees, there is also many places where it says Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So Bhagavatam's got both. But in general, the answer that was given is correct. The two kinds of katha, that which is spoken directly by Krishna and that which is spoken about Krishna. This is the beginning of your Krishna consciousness, hearing. So we should be, all of us should be hearing as much as we can every day. Can you do too much hearing?
Yes.
Really? Who said yes? Yeah, but I said, can you do too much? No. Whoever said yes, misunderstood. Right. You cannot do too much. If you do too much hearing, what will happen? Yes, you'll go back to, you'll be like Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, Hari Bol. Just like, how many of you attended the entire Gita Yajna last week? How did you feel at the end? Was I correct what I predicted? I know I was. By the end of that yajna, I was floating. And you felt? Yes. If you participate and you put your heart and soul into it, at the end, you're going to feel like you have gone to heaven, beyond heaven. That's the power of hearing. The more hearing you do, you will benefit. That's the beginning. All right. That's called the preamble of the Constitution. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna,
Hare. Manish, liking?
Yes.
It's good?
Yes.
I think you should sit close. You're okay?
Yes.
Make sure I can see you. I want to make sure I see you. All right. And don't forget, offering should be at 6, and then where are these children going? Sit down. All the children should be here. I speak so that even children can understand. So the children should be here. All right. So I found a few verses which will help us to understand what is proper grihastha life. Because as opposed to griha medhi, grihastha means, no, it's an ashram. The griha medhi just wants to enjoy senses. So the griha medhi is a polished animal. That's it. The griha medhi is not doing anything different than the animals, just he does it more sophisticated. Right? The griha medhi, he sings his songs, so does the frog. The frog is also singing his song, trying to attract female frog. And he thinks he sings very good. The frog is also a rapper. And the griamedi, he's also croaking, trying to attract the woman. So there's no difference. The grihastha is different. The grihastha means, yes, man and woman will unite, produce children, live comfortably, but the central point is spiritual advancement or liberation. That's the difference. Grihastha means that, yes, we cannot be as austere as the brahmachari and the sannyasi, but still, especially in Lord Chaitanya's movement, you can make spiritual advancement as a grihastha, which we will see in these selections. In the Shankaracharya, no grihastha can make any spiritual advancement. Those who actually follow Shankaracharya, if you approach, they will say, oh, you're a householder? Forget it. Take sannyas, then we'll talk. That's the Shankara philosophy. You want to make spiritual advancement? Take sannyas, then we'll talk. But not in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Grihe tako, vane tako. Sada hari bole dako. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, everyone can make advancement. So many Lord Chaitanya's associates were grihasthas. He didn't have just sannyasi associates. He had grihasthas. So in bhakti marg, grihasthas can make spiritual advancement because they're grihasthas. They have spiritual life as the priority. So that you have to keep in mind, the difference between grihastha and grihamedi. So you young children, you are probably going to become grihasthas. So you have to start now hearing about Krishna, because it's not going to happen later if you have all kinds of bad habits. Because we get this argument all the time. Oh, Prabhu, I will take up what you're saying when I get older. You all know this famous musician, Paul McCartney. So many, many years ago, one ISKCON devotee was seeing him. His name is Mahakshadas. I know him. So he was visiting Paul McCartney and preaching to him. But after some days, what did Paul McCartney say? Yeah, when I get older. Now he's late 60s, early 70s. Yeah, he's vegetarian. All right. But where is his Krishna consciousness? I don't see it. So, and we hear this all the time. Yes, when I get older. No, it won't happen. You have to start now. All right, who can tell me? Prahlad Maharaj says, when should it start? At the age of 5. Kaumara acharet pragya. From the age of 5. So, children, now is the time to start hearing about Krishna. Okay? All right. So let's see the first reference here. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So the first, I could have selected 50 different shlokas, but I cherry-picked the best ones. So in the fourth canto, there is the meeting between Prithu Maharaj and the four Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj had a disagreement with Indra. Prithu was trying to do 100 horse sacrifices. And Indra became jealous, because Indra is famous for doing 100. And he didn't want any, but what is this Prithu? He thinks he's going to do 100? No. So when the 100th horse was about to be sacrificed, Indra disguised himself, stole the horse. But then Atsuri Rishi pointed out to Prithu's son, No. That looks like some sannyasi, but it's Indra in disguise. Go kill him. He's stealing the horse. So Prithu Maharaj's son chased him. And when he was being chased, Indra gave up his false dress and gave up the horse. So again, they wanted to do the sacrifice. Indra again disguised himself differently to look like a sadhu and stole the horse. And so, because it's a sadhu, oh, we can't touch. But again, Atri said, no, 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 you're being cheated. It's Indra. Go get him. So this was happening time and time. Each time he was trying to do the 100th horse sacrifice, Indra was introducing a sort of mock kind of pseudo-sannyasi. So finally, Lord Brahma came and said, stop this nonsense. Prithu, you should know better. You already self-realized. You're a pure devotee. Why are you doing this 100 horse sacrifice? Not necessary for you. And if the more you try to do it, Indra's going to introduce more and more these pseudo false sannyasis. So right after that, Lord Vishnu came with Indra. And Lord Vishnu came to Prithu and said, Indra has come with me to be forgiven by you. So Prithu, as I said, as Brahma pointed out, he's a pure devotee. So when Vishnu came with Indra and Indra wanted to be forgiven for his nonsense, everything was forgiven. And Lord Vishnu was so pleased with Prithu, very pleased by his exalted qualities. And Lord Vishnu predicted, soon you will be visited by the four Kumaras. And you will learn so many nice things from the four Kumaras. So when Prithu and the four Kumaras are discussing, this verse appears. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bolo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Adana apite danya sadavo griha maidinaha. See that word? Griha maidinaha. Yad griha yahar varyambu trina bhumeshvaravara. Please repeat. Prithu Maharaj continued. A person who is not very rich. I think that's about all of us, right? Do we have any rich people here? We're talking materially. We have any millionaires in the house? So we're all sub-millionaires, so we're not rich. A person who's not, and who is attached to family life, becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. So, Manish and Tejal, you have invited so many saintly persons. Why do I say all of you are saintly persons? Why? Was that? Yes. How many of you are chanting the holy name of the Lord regularly? You're sadhu or sadvi, feminine form. So you are blessed. So many devotees have come to your home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitors water, which you did, thank you. First thing she said to me, Prabhu, can I get you something? She gave me water, which is lemon water. Very good. A sitting place. You all have a sitting place? Okay. And paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the house itself is also glorified. So now, this house, once we leave, it's a glorious house. You are a success. See how many devotees came? That's a good sign. I always say that Krishna is pleased with you when you see so many devotees come to your house. There was a time when I was doing programs at Krishna Kumar's house, and very few people were coming. And he used to get kind of dejected. I said, no, no, you wait. Keep doing. Then little by little, more people were coming, more people were coming, more. I told them, see, when Krishna is pleased with you, the devotees will come. And those of you who have done programs, right? And those of you who have not done programs, do a program. Hint, hint, hint. All right. Now the next excerpt is from fifth canto, the activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata was studying under Narada Muni, and Priyavrata decided, you know what? I'm not going to get entangled in householder life. He had learned so much, because that's Narada's thing. Narada preaches complete renunciation, like Narada preached to the sons of Daksha, 10,000 sons. Daksha had sent them to do austerity so that they would become grihastas. Narada came and preached to them very cleverly, and they all decided, what? We're not going to take up grihastha life. We're going to take sannyas. 10,000 sannyasis. Narada's got a big score. So then Daksha finds out, because he had sent his sons so that they would assist him, because Daksha is Prajapati. So he found out, he said, ah. So Daksha created another 10,000 sons, because Daksha, by the way, you'll read, Daksha got a special benediction from Vishnu. Daksha went to a mountain and worshipped Vishnu, and Vishnu appeared to him. And what did Daksha ask the Lord? The Lord knew what he was praying for. The Lord said, yes, what you want is unlimited sex. I'll give it to you. Vishnu gave Daksha unlimited sex. It's his thing. He's a Prajapati. So Lord Vishnu gave him a particular woman where he could create all kinds of living entities. All kinds. So when Narada delivered the first set of sons, either the Shabalasvas or the Haryasvas, I don't know which was first, Daksha created another 10,000 sons. He has that potency. 10,000 sons, like that. So again, he sent them to perform austerities and penances with the idea that they would become Prajapatis. Narada came again. Narada Muni Bhajai. He also preached to them and said, you know, your brothers, you know, they took sannyas. So Narada preached to them. They also decided, grihastha life? No, we're going to take sannyas. So then when Daksha heard that his second set of 10,000 sons became sannyasis, Daksha was furious. He was so angry at Narada, and he cursed Narada. And Narada just let him talk. Narada didn't get agitated. Narada didn't respond. He just let Daksha just get it out of his system. So Priyavrata, because he's following Narada, he also doesn't want anything to do with ruling. Let's see, who's Priyavrata? Rama, who is Priyavrata's father? It's Manu, right? Yeah, I think so. Yes, because his brother, he has Uttanapad, and and then there's also Devahuti, right? She's the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. So it's quite a family. So Priyavrata did not want to take over ruling the earth, because he had been preached by Narada. He didn't want to take up, because a king has to be married. You can't have a sannyasi king. It doesn't work. King means you got to have a queen. So he didn't like the idea. He didn't want to. It was time for him to take over rule of the earth. So he didn't like it. So Lord Brahma has to convince Priyavrata to do this work. Bhayang pramatasya vanesh vapisyad yata sa aste saha shat sapatna jitendriyasyatma rater buddhasya grihashrama kingno karotya vadyam. Please repeat. Lord Brahma said to Priyavrata, if he, even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage because he is living with six co-wives. Now, let's see who has a transcendental brain. What are the six co-wives of everyone? Which senses? Okay, so you have the ears, your eyes, your nose, tongue, skin. That's only five. What's the sixth wife? Mind, yes. So Brahma's point is, if your senses are not controlled, even you want to go to a cave and you want to you're not going to do it. Because you have these six wives. All of us men know what it means to have a wife. Right? There's always some order. Prabhuji! Prabhuji! Right? As long as you keep this in mind, boys, getting a wife means somebody's going to be telling you what to do. Just like, I'll give you a practical example. So many brahmacharis, and when they join a temple, right? So when you join a temple, there's always somebody telling you what to do. It's called the temple commander. From sun up to sundown, there's a, Prabhu, now it's time to do this. Prabhu, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. That's what it means to live in the temple. Living in the temple doesn't mean you just sit back and just read all day. I've never been in that kind of temple. I know when I joined the temple, they got you doing something all day long. Now you will do this. Now you will do this. Now you will do this. Do this, do this, do this, do this. So sometimes the brahmachari thinks, hey, you know, I'm tired of this guy's always telling me what to do. I'm going to get married. Now I'll be the boss. I thought like that. I thought like that. But then when you get married, because what happens is, the first, up until the time you're married, she's like the sweetest thing you could ever imagine. You think she's Devahuti or Kunti, or it's like, wow. But then as soon as the marriage is over, the very next day, the mask comes off. It's Putana. Now you will do this. Now do this. Now do this. Now do this. Do this. Do this. And you realize, wait a second, I had a temple commander. I'm still the same old thing. So, the reason I'm telling this is because Brahma is pointing out that even you go to the forest, you're still going to be harassed by your six senses because they're going to be pushing and dictating. The eyes want to see, the ears want to hear, the tongue wants to taste. Just like, I don't know about you. You know, during the week, during the month, I don't have cravings. But sure enough, on Ekadasi, it's like I want to eat grains. It's like, wait a second. The rest of the month, it's nothing. But sure enough, on Ekadasi, those grains look so And then amazing, the next day when you're supposed to break the fast, it's like, grains are. But on that same way with Janmashtami, right? You're fasting all day. You're looking at you. Oh my God, it's only 10 o'clock? Seems like I've been fasting for 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes. Then you look at your watch. 2 o'clock? I can't go on. And then somebody... Right, will pass by with an offering that was just made, and it's your senses, you can just smell that offering. It's like, wow. Then you look at your watch, 2:30, God. Then sure enough, you make it till midnight, Then after midnight, it's like, gee, that was nothing. But all the way up to that, your senses, they're so strong and impetuous. Bhagavad Gita teaches us. Please repeat. Even householder life cannot harm a self-satisfied learned man who has conquered his senses. So, bottom line, how do you conquer the senses? What's the best answer? Who has the best answer? How do you, you know? Okay, who can answer? What's the best answer for conquering the senses? Yes? Chanting, good, but in a broader sense. Chanting is, what's that? Yes, engagement in devotional service. When we, last Sunday, when we did the Gita Yajna, and I was reading the excerpts from Prabhupada's purports, time and time again, what was Prabhupada stressing? Devotional service, devotional service, devotional service. So you conquer the senses when they're engaged in Krishna service. So chanting is good. Hearing, chanting, what's the next process? After hearing and chanting, you? What does that mean? Remember, right? What are we going to do at 7:30? We're going to worship. Yes, that's good. Good. Right? And during the RT, what are we going to be? We're going to be, what does that mean? Praying, yes. Then there's, whether it be a program or a temple, there's so much needed. So much what? What's needed to run a temple? Service. Yes, not that the deities just automatically look beautiful by osmosis. No, there's lots of devotees working, just like where Bharati, you're engaged in New Dwarka, right? On Sundays, lots of work is going on in that pujari room behind closed doors. Am I right? All day long, from 4 o'clock in the morning till 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, there's a constant stream of things going on to make a temple run. So much activity. Because we need to engage our senses in service. So, as I pointed out, that in Lord Chaitanya's movement, in the Bhagavatam, Grihastha can make advancement provided his senses are engaged in serving Krishna. Everybody chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The next one is Lord Rishabhdev. Lord Rishabhdev had how many sons? How many? 100. Who was the number one son? Who was his number one son? Well, I can't hear you. I can't hear what you said. Bharat, yes, very good. 9 of his sons became sannyasis. What are they called? Navayogindras, yes. And they appear in the 11th canto. Couple of chapters there, which the Navayogendras are explaining to Maharaj Nimi the higher points of Krishna consciousness. So once Lord, now, who is Lord Rishabhdev? Who is he? Yes, he's Vasudev, he's God. He's an incarnation of Krishna, yes. He's Vishnu Tattva. So once he sat his 100 sons down and he was instructing them. Please repeat. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness,
those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness,
and increasing their love of Godhead,
do not like to do anything
that is not related to Krishna. So right there, now you have an essential understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. You know that you are a good devotee when you are at this stage. That you don't want to do anything unless there is some connection or relationship to Krishna. Then you know you are nicely situated in spiritual life. When you don't have any interest to do anything unless there's something dealing with Krishna. Please repeat, they are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So I mentioned that. See, that's what the Grihamedis do. The Grihamedis, all they're doing is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which is the basic principle of materialistic life. The animals have to do that. And if you're a two-legged animal, that's all you do. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Okay? So you know that you're a good devotee because you don't want to associate with these kinds of people. You know you're a devotee when you want to associate with devotees. That's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. That's why. Otherwise, who are we going to associate with? If there's no society, you can move that out of there. Move that out of there so she can do her service. No, away from there. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. If we don't have each other to associate with, it's going to be very difficult. We need each other's association. I've said hundreds of times why I do this Namahat program since 1994. Why? I want your association. I also have a selfish interest. I want your association. Thank you for giving me your association. I applaud you. Thank you. Because if I didn't have you, where would I be? What would I be doing? We need each other's association in spiritual life. Please repeat. They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders. Nor are they attached to their wife, children, friends, or wealth. Now, this has to be understood. Because it's not that this means that we become irresponsible. That's not what it means. Because some people think, yeah, I can't stand my wife, I can't stand my kids, I can't stand my job, I must be detached. It doesn't work that way. Notice what Rishabhdev says. But at the same time, please repeat, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. That's the kicker. Very good. The point being here, they're not attached, but at the same time, they have to do their duty. Prabhupada did not like his wife, but he did his duty. Okay, so we all have in our lives, all of us have things we like to do and things we don't like to do. That's the nature. Some things you like doing, some things you don't like doing. But you do your duty. And we see in Bhagavad Gita, repeatedly Krishna tells Arjuna to do his prescribed duty. One of my favorite verses, I pointed this out last Sunday. What does Krishna tell Arjuna? He tells Arjuna, you should go on remembering me and at the same time what? Fight. Did Arjuna want to fight?
No.
At least not in the beginning. He dropped his bow. But Krishna said, no, I want you to fight. and at the same time think of me. So children, you may not want to go to school. Tough. Do your duty. You may not want to do what your parents tell you to do. And what do I always tell you kids for the last 12 years or more? What do I say? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Even if you don't like it. But at the same time, you have to remember Krishna. And you can't remember Krishna unless you hear about him and chant about him. Those two have to go on. So I want a show of hands from everybody. How many of you are reading every day about Krishna? Everyone should be reading. Ask Kamlesh, what book should they read, Kamlesh? Bhagavad Gita. As it is. Oh, thank you. All right, or Bhagavatam, or Krishna, my favorite book, Krishna book, or Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. Read something of Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada's books are full of Krishna katha. Very important. And you have to do all the things your parents tell you to do. And go to school, etc., etc. Please repeat. Such persons are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. And it's been proven to me when people ask me, Prabhu, how are you doing? I always like to say, Krishna is giving me what I need, not what I want. My mother used to always chastise me, rest her soul. My mother would say, Nikki, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. As you can see what has happened. Right? The eye is telling, eat more, eat more, eat more, but stomach is saying, hey, give me a break, man. So our desire to accumulate more and more material things is far outweighs what we actually need. All right? So that's why this expression Prabhupada used to always use. Just enough to keep body and soul together. That's another item of renunciation. We cannot be gluttonous. Just enough to keep body and soul together. All right. So now comes a very nice verse from, of course, Narada Muni. And before we do this verse, let's glorify Narada Muni. He's my role model. Narada Muni Vajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Bala. Where's the drum? Get the drum. It's broken? Oh. All right. Narada Muni Vajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Bala. Nama Amani Udita Hoy Bhagavata Gita Same. What, you don't know this song? Homework. Homework. Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name Bolo. Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Narada
So who's